This is Hungry Gen Podcast, and I just want to thank you for joining us today. Here at HG, our vision is to see thousands saved locally and millions globally. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Today I want to speak briefly about biblical worship. Biblical worship. Worship is something very dear to my heart. And I want to share with you some of the things that helped me in this journey. Because there's a lot of talk about worship, and I feel, of course, there's a lot of worship times, but I wonder sometimes, do people actually understand what is biblical worship? Do people actually experience that? Because sometimes we come to a church, we see there's worship time, so worship, we associate worship with music, or we associate worship with style, but actually, worship is much more than that, isn't it? It's much more than that. It's not about music. It's not about the style. I will tell you, it has a lot to do with your heart and the Lord. It has a lot to do with your connection with the Lord. Probably the most preached passage in the Bible regarding worship is John 4. Remember when Jesus meets the woman, in the Samaritan woman? And there's the famous quote, the worshipers in spirit and in truth. That's the passage. But a lot of people preach for verse 23. But actually, that verse 23 is in a context. And if you read carefully the context, which if you want, you can open with me. John chapter 4, we start reading in verse 7. Says like this, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus says something amazing in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Say with me, living water. I want to tell you this morning, the whole goal with worship is actually to access this living water. There is a living water ready for you to access in every worship time, not only here at church, but actually at home, everywhere. Because worship has this beautiful connection with accessing God's living water that comes from Jesus. So it's not so much how you sing or what you do in worship, but actually has to do with the fact that, Lord, I am thirsty and I want to access this living water. I want to taste this living water. Can you say amen? So the main purpose in every worship set is not just singing. It's actually to drink this living water that comes from Jesus. If we go to verse 13 in the same chapter, Jesus said this, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. So basically, Jesus is talking about the physical water, yeah? And how we get thirsty again. And I was thinking about all these things that the world is giving us, you know, like sometimes the world is giving you success, or sometimes the world is giving you recognition, or sometimes you get a lot of riches in this world. But have you noticed that as much as you get those, you are still thirsty? Those things never can fulfill that empty slot in your heart. Why? Because you were designed to worship. You are designed to experience that living water. It's a matter of how you make yourself available to receive it. But we all have this in us. And what is that? That instinct to drink from this water. And if you don't aim it in the right way, you will aim it in drugs. You will aim it in alcohol, the bad type of water, yeah? The water that will never satisfy. Why? Because you were created for the living one. So I want to encourage you with this. Thank you, Jesus. And then we go to verse 19. Says, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that is in Jerusalem is the place where on ought to worship. It's interesting for me, a woman with the problems that this woman had. Remember, she was married 5 times. She was divorced. She was in a lot of pain. It's interesting how sometimes people in pain think about the most interesting things. This woman was thinking about worship. The question that he had for Jesus was, well, how do I get this? How do we worship? What's the way actually to access this living water? So basically, she asked this question, and Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you'll neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. Here Jesus is giving a very interesting thing. Sometimes we worship the God that we don't know. And that's why we don't experience the living water. Why? We know about God. We know who God is. We fear. Some of us fear God, but actually we don't know Him. We are not intimate with Him. We are not in a relationship with Him. And Jesus is saying here a very important key. You worship what you do not know. I want to encourage you today, church. Spend time in knowing the Lord. Not just know about the Lord. Not just go to the next famous preaching, which is amazing. Preachings actually help us discover more from the Lord. But actually, when we go inside of our secret place and we go on our knees and we say, Lord, I want to know you. You know, the best way to know the Lord, you know what's the best way to do that? To spend time. It's the same as in any relationship. If I know my wife, I'm married with her 17 years, I know her, I know things about her that nobody in this room or in this world knows. Why? Because I spend time with her. Because I spend quality time with her. Well, what happens if I don't spend time with her? Our relationship gets cold. So what's my point? We draw closer to the Lord. We know the Lord. And by knowing the Lord, this is how we come and we worship Him. And then we get this amazing living water. So the next thing that I want to say, this is the last thing from this chapter. John 4:23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers, say to me, worshipers, say with me, worshipers, that the Father seeks. You know the interesting thing that I saw in this verse? The Father doesn't seek worship times. The Father is not looking necessarily for worship moments. He's actually seeking to see if there are some worshipers. You know what's the difference between a worshiper and a Christian? A Christian can be a worshiper, don't get me wrong. But if you are a worshiper, nobody tells you, raise your hand. Go on your knees. Praise the Lord. No. Why? Because it's in you. You have it in you. Something from inside grips your heart and says, I cannot not shout. I cannot not praise the Lord. Why? Because He's worthy. Because He's worthy. Not because He's been good to me. It's more than that. Because He's worthy of all of my praise. Something happens to us when we realize that we are called to be worshipers. Not just worship, but actually to have this identity on ourselves. Can we say amen to this, church? Yes. So, Father, please make us worshipers. Amen. Make us worshipers in our hearts. So, actually, nobody needs to tell us what to do, but actually, everything comes from inside of us. So this is kind of the general picture of what I understand worship is. And now I want to go into a little bit more practical. Because, you know, how many of you struggle with understanding what's your part and what's God's part? I found myself sometimes in different situations asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? So what's your part? Sometimes we get this mistaken and we do his part and we kind of don't do our part, and that never helps, of course. But going further, I want to open Romans chapter 12, verse 1. There's an interesting verse that talks about worship in a very interesting way. Therefore, it's Paul talking with the church. I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, say with me, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Interesting verse, isn't it? It's interesting for me. It doesn't say bring your heart. It doesn't say bring your emotions. It doesn't say bring your mind. Actually, it says clearly bring your body as a living sacrifice. Interesting. Have you ever thought that what you do actually in worship with your body counts? Let me put it this way. During worship, the physical actions of your body carry profound spiritual significance. And I want to share this to you. Do you remember in Old Testament, they used to train people how to come to the Lord, yeah? And the Lord taught them to bring a sacrifice. And actually, they will physically put their hands on that sacrifice. And because they were doing this act from obedience, what was actually happening? In the spiritual, that was actually transferring. Sins were actually transferring from that person to the animal. It's interesting how physical acts carry spiritual significance. It's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. That's why I want to encourage you, your part has to do with bringing your body. Your body. What you do with your body is not a matter of style. Sometimes we think, oh, youth, they are good, they are crazy, they need to be that for the Lord. No, no, no. It's actually for everybody. It doesn't say only the youth bring your body. It actually says everybody. And actually at the end of the verse, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's your spiritual service of worship, bringing your body. And I want to kind of stay on these three things: living sacrifice, holy, and pleasing to God. Let's start with living sacrifice. You know, sacrifice is something that costs you. Remember 2 Samuel 24:24, when actually David says, I don't want to bring something to the Lord that doesn't cost me. That was David's heart. Why? We need to understand that every time we come to the Lord, it's something that will cost us. It's something that will get us out of our comfort zone. Yes? It's not something that is very comfortable. Sometimes, do you think we all worship team all the time? They are 24/7 plug, ready to go for the... No, sometimes we are here and I need to tell my soul, come on, do something about it. Yeah? Did you ever had that happen? Why we need to do that? Because we need to understand that what we bring in our bodies is actually a sacrifice. Sometimes I don't feel like clapping. I don't feel like screaming. But I do it. Why? Because Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. And He's going to stay worthy. And that's the truth. And that will never, ever change. That's why what you do with your body can be a sacrifice. And I totally understand. It's not naturally... is not something that comes naturally to us. Sometimes we need to be intentional about it. Can we say amen? A good example of this would be, remember Jericho walls? Remember actually when the Israelites was there, and actually the Lord came to them and said, hey, for 6 days, you all need to be quiet. 6 days, nobody says anything, just walk, but nobody says anything. I don't know if you were there, if that would have been easy for you. I mean, let's be honest, there were a lot of women there. So I'm just saying, sometimes men have that issue, but generally speaking, for women it's a little bit more hard to stay quiet. But actually they did that. But they did that for 6 days. Imagine they were actually doing that because the Lord said to do. Which on the seventh day, they were actually said, God told them, you need to do now the opposite. Everybody shout and scream. And can you imagine even an introvert was there? Even their kids were there. Everybody needed to shout. It was a sacrifice, but something amazing happened in a spiritual world when they did this. That's my point. It will cost you. Bringing your body as a living sacrifice, it will cost you, but it's worth it. Can we say amen? It's worth it. Let's go further. It talks about a holy sacrifice. I wanna stay here a little bit because this is what I feel like is the number one thing that stops us to not experience the depth of God's presence. And I will tell you why. Sometimes we treat God's presence very casual. And how many you know that we serve a holy God? He's a holy God. And all throughout the Old Testament, we can see how God intended His people, kind of tried to teach His people how to come before Him. You can see the heart of the Lord that was actually, His dream was to live among His people. That was His dream. But the problem was that He's a holy God. So being a holy God, He needed to create a bunch of rules. We think that this is something, oh my, why did you create so many rules? Well, actually, it was for their protection. Because He knew that I'm a holy God, so I need to kind of help them. So let me tell you this. Maybe for somebody, it's going to help you. So in the Old Testament, we see this picture of the temple, yeah? We see the outer courts. We see the holy place. And then we see the holies of holies. That's the picture of the temple. In the New Testament, we don't talk about temples because we are the temples. Our body are the temples. But actually, I want to propose to you that is the same thing that happens. We have the outer court, we have the holy place and the most holy place. And where we actually encounter the Lord is actually in the holy of holies. That's the most holy place. But to get there, listen to me carefully, to get there, you need to be washed by the blood of Jesus. You need the blood of Jesus to wash you. And that's why I believe sometimes, because we don't confess our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us for all unrighteousness. If we confess, that means that before I come to the Lord, I need to come with my sin. I need to actually confess my sin. And what is that doing? That actually prepares me to get in the holy place. So don't understand me. We don't understand me wrong. We don't sanctify ourselves. We don't have that power. But confessing, we access the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is washing. And because we are washed, now we can enter in the holy place. Sometimes in our worship times, because we don't do that and we treat this without respect, because we don't do this, we kind of walk around in the courtyard. We just walk around the courtyard. Nothing amazing has happened. But walking in the holies of holies, that's the place that actually the Lord speaks. And we need that. We need to experience His presence. We are more dependent on His presence than we realize. That's why I encourage you, next time you come to church, take 2 minutes. Maybe you see the countdown. In those 2 minutes, confess your sins to the Lord. Why? Because that's how you enter. That's how you enter in the holy place. Again, it's about bringing your body as a living sacrifice, not only as a living sacrifice, but holy, holy. And the last one, pleasing to God. Very important, pleasing to God. I meet so many people. You know, I was leading worship for 20 years and I meet sometimes some people say, oh, I didn't like the worship today, or I didn't like this song. I was like, did you check the lyrics of the song? Is your name up there? Or is when is this worship experience about you? You know, we will go one day to heaven and we will stay next to people that were actually killed for Jesus. They saw their kids chopped into pieces for the sake of God's name. And our excuses is, it's too hot, it's too loud, I didn't like the song, I didn't like the preacher, I didn't like the worship leader. What is that? What is that? It's not about pleasing you. It's not about pleasing me. It's about pleasing Him. Can we say amen to that? That's why, church, let's learn this. Let's learn how the Lord actually likes it. Because like I said, it's about Him. And it's so amazing because the Bible is full of scripture that talks about actually how He likes it. And it's interesting because the word praise, it's in Romanian or in English, it's only one word. But actually in Hebrew, there are 12 different words that actually is for what the word praise. If you think about it, it's pretty amazing. But what I want to share is actually that when Hebrew people, or when Israelites, or how do you say, when Jewish people, yeah, thank you. When Jewish people read in Hebrew, they actually receive, when they read the word praise, they receive instructions how to praise the Lord. They receive specific instructions. So are you ready to go in four of these kind of instructions? You want to go there? Okay, let's go there. Cool. First word, it's the word zamar, okay? The word for praise in Hebrew, which is zamar. What is zamar meaning? Zamar meaning is singing with instruments, making melodies, celebrating through music and song. This is something that we do almost every Sunday. It's amazing. It's biblical, yeah? So we need to keep doing that, okay? These are the psalms where you actually find this word zamar, all the reference to all the psalms, yeah? Okay, that's the first word. The second word that I want to mention to you is yadach. Yadach is a little bit more specific. Yadach means this: raising hands in worship, praising or thanking God for something specific. Here you go. Okay, so now we come with acts. We raise up our hands. That's something that actually the Lord requires. The Lord likes that. You see it in all these psalms that talks about actually this word yadach. What I'm trying to say, sometimes this simple illustration for me is helping me a lot. When I go home after a long day of work or whatever, and I enter my home and say, Daddy's home. I see my kids. Did you ever had that happen? See my kids coming running actually to me, Daddy! And one day I was like, that's it. That's the picture. Because they came with their hands raised. Makes sense. Sometimes it's such a profound thing. And for me, it melts my heart every time that they do that. Why? Because they are my kids and I love them and they love me and they are joyful actually to see me. So actually raising up hands in church is not a style issue. It's a biblical issue. So next time when you come in worship, and sometimes when you hear from the stage, hey, let's all raise up our hands, don't feel abused. Don't feel, okay, what is this guy saying? It's not at heart. It's just that. Like, I would do an exercise, but I'm only at the beginning. So what I'm trying to say, this is not that hard. If He would ask us to crawl on our knees for 2 days, that would be hard. But actually doing this, that's not hard. Especially when we sing. When we sing songs like, as we lift up our hands, songs like that, and we don't do it, I will tell you what's that. That's a bad testimony for non-Christians. Why? Because they come and they see us singing but not doing. And they're like, these guys are not believing in what they are saying. Make sense? Such a small detail. But next time, make sure if you see it, do it. Why? it's not about me. I'm not going to be upset or happy if I say it and nobody raises their hands. But actually, it's about pleasing the Lord. And He gives clear instructions that this is biblical. The next two ones are a little bit more spicy. So let's kind of go through them with fear and tremble. So the next one is tequila. For my Mexican friends, it's not tequila, it's tequila, okay? Because I heard first service, what's that? Is that no, tequila. It's Hebrew, okay? Not English, Hebrew. So the third word is tequila, which means actually to sing, to praise through a spontaneous song, a new song, to sing a melody from your heart, very important, to add words from your heart to a melody. It's a special way of singing, unprepared and unrehearsed. The musicians love this, not. But what I'm trying to say is not only the songs that we sing. The songs that we sing, it's okay, it's great. You need to sing with us. But actually sometimes, I don't know if you know this or not, but we create this space after the song. Why? That's your cue. That's your place to actually sing from your heart. To open your heart and to actually say what you really believe about God, what you really feel about Him. It's very important. You know, if I go daily to my wife, I use, again, a perfect example for me, at least. If I go to my wife and I read her a poem and she will be like, oh, that's so nice, honey. And the second day I come again and I read another poem. She will be like, wow, that's beautiful. The third day I do the same and the same and the same. I'm like, one day she'll be, dude, get a life. Do something. So I want to actually hear what's in your heart. Isn't that true, ladies? Like, I really want to hear what you believe, not what the Bible is saying or what the song is saying. I want really what you believe about, what do you think about me? That's why it's very important. And all the Bible is filled, actually, with this kind of expression. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see a lot of new songs. A lot of new songs in the book of Revelation. Why? Because there were people that actually, they came to the Lord, and these people or whatever, beings or what is there in heaven. There's a lot of beings in heaven for sure that sing from their heart, that give something from their heart. So that's very, very important. And there's a lot of psalms that cover this specific tequila praise. Okay? And the last one, it's halal. Halal, it's a very interesting one. It means this: to boast about God. Are you ready? In an extravagant, loud, joyous manner, even to the point of appearing ridiculous in our expressions. Okay, so I know that sometimes saying this in a charismatic church can bring a mess. But what I'm not trying to say, hey, everybody, just let's get nuts. No, that's not the point. That's not, please, do it at home. The thing that you've read about David naked at home, it's for your secret place, okay? But actually, every one of us has this comfort place. Some of us, we are feeling comfortable to raise up our hands. And that's my comfort zone. Some of us are a little bit more extrovert. We like to kind of, but that's also our comfort zone. Some of us, our comfort zone is this. My idea is, hey, can you step out of that comfort zone and do something that you never did? That's my idea. I think that's the definition of halal praise. Is not doing crazy things for the Lord. It is actually stepping out of your comfort zone and praise the Lord in a joyous manner, even to the point of appearing ridiculous in our expression. Help us, Jesus. There are so many verses. I mean, I counted more verses than any other word. Actually, it's halal praise. You can go check this out. It's pretty interesting how clear is the Lord in His expectations from us. By the way, Psalm 150 verse 6, remember the famous verse that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's a very famous word, verse. Do you know what word is used there? Halal. That's why it's, I have no excuse. You have no excuse. That's what the Bible is actually saying. It's not about, okay, I'm introvert. No. I'm sorry. There's not there. It's not, it doesn't say, let everything that is extrovert and is kind of joyful, praise the Lord. In hell. No. It said everything that has breath. But let me help you. Because there is one category of people actually who are allowed to not praise the Lord. Did you think about it? So there is one category. Now some of you are like, tell me please, because I kind of need a verse to kind of hide behind. So I actually don't praise the Lord. Psalm 115 verse 17 says this, it is not the dead who praise the Lord. So the only category of people actually that is allowed to not praise the Lord is the dead. That's the only verse that I found in the Bible. We actually sang to come out of the grave. So that's prophetic. Because we are not dead, yeah? We are alive. And if we are alive, we need to express that life somehow. We need to express it. We need to come to the Lord. And again, I remind you, is the way He likes it. It has nothing to do with what you like or I like. It's the way He likes it. I wanna end with this. There's a very precious verse to me that actually is the answer of the question, what is happening through our praise? It's Psalm 22 verse 3. It says this, but you are holy, you who inhabit the praises of Israel. I don't know about you, but I really feel in this season, the Lord is highlighting this especially for Hungry Gen. And I will tell you what I perceive from the Lord. The Lord wants this house to be a house that He actually lives in, not just visits. This is something that is very precious to my heart. Why? Because there's a lot of churches that have visitations, but visitations is not enough. God's dream was always to live, actually, to habit, that to make His home with His people. That's God's dream. And I feel like God is actually shifting and is kind of drawing us to that season. That's why when you come to Wednesday morning prayer, sometimes you will find that we are worshiping for 40 minutes. Why? Because we want that. We want that. We want to create a place that actually He enjoys. We are not just like machines that start praying. Praying is not bad. Don't get me wrong. But a great man of God said, if I have an hour with the Lord, I will spend that 50 minutes in worship and 10 minutes in prayer. Because sometimes what the presence of the Lord does in worship, sometimes He doesn't do through 1,000 prayers. And I've been there. I've tasted that. Worship for me has a dear place. Because in worship, me and my wife, we were both healed of hepatitis C, which was the deadly virus. It happened in 2006. Through worship, the Lord healed my wife's womb. The doctor said we couldn't have children. We have two now. Why? Because the Lord is worthy. Why do I know that? Because one time I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, when did you do that? He said, when you worshiped. That's why worship is not just thing of, okay, let's have like a 25 minutes of preparing for the sermon. No. We will spend eternity doing it, brothers and sisters. That's, we don't know a lot of things about what we'll do in eternity, but one thing we know, we will worship there. We will worship there. Because it's worship what draws the glory of God. And when the glory of God is established in a place, creates a habitation, then you have revival. Revival is more than signs and wonders. Signs and wonders is something that follow. It says that follow what? They follow your heart that is actually sold out for the Lord. That's what they follow. That's revival.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you are blessed by this message, be sure to subscribe and send it to someone. And don't forget, you can always share it on your social stories. Stay connected with us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. For more information on internship, prayer line, conferences, and other resources, go to hungrygen.com. Remember, better is not good enough. The best is yet to come.